You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. The time is 6:53. It is Thursday, October the 30th of 2025. I am Chad Holmes. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in just a little bit at 7:22, we will be joined by Nancy Stensel, who is the chairperson of the Marathon County Democratic Party. We are joined by Nancy every other Thursday morning to talk about what is happening politically. And is actually quite a bit in terms of the 7th Congressional District. There is, of course, going to be an open seat as Tom Tiffany, the incumbent, has decided that he is going for the Republican nomination for governor of Wisconsin. And at this point, looking like a pretty significant front runner when it comes to the Republican race. Not quite as deep a field on the Republican side for governor as there is on the Democratic side. But that means that there is an open seat that is going on the for both the Democratic and the Republican sides. And just yesterday, in fact, I saw a video for a Republican candidate, a very young Republican candidate, Michael Alfonso. I'm familiar with Michael Alfonso. He went to Newman Catholic High School. He was a member of their football team. But very young, inexperienced. He does have connections to the Duffy family. He is married. In fact, Sean Duffy, the former congressman, is his father-in-law. The Duffy children, many of them went to the Newman Catholic schools, Newman Catholic High School. And Mr. Alfonso married Evita Duffy, one of Sean Duffy's daughters. So there is that connection there, as Duffy, of course, was the congressperson for the 7th Congressional District before Tom Tiffany. So yesterday saw this video, and again, it talks a lot about what he considers problems with no solutions. And I'll be curious to see how he frames this campaign, because again, really no experience governmentally except his connection to the Duffy family. Mm-hmm. And I'm very curious to see if there are any other Republicans that decide to put their hat into the ring. I'm assuming there will be in the next year. Of course, the primary will be held in August before the general election in September. And then on the Democratic side, there is Fred Clark. He is a candidate for the 7th Congressional District. There was actually a reception hosted by Marathon County Board Supervisor John Robinson and his wife, former Wausau mayor as well. That was held last week. So Fred Clark was in the area trying to, I think, raise a little bit of money for the upcoming campaign. Very different kind of candidate than Michael Alfonso. So again, it's we're starting to find ourselves into almost political season. I think once we get past the holidays, once we get into actual 2026, it's going to really heat up. We have a Supreme Court race coming up in the spring, and then of course we will have the very active gubernatorial race coming up as well, and then here an open seat in the 7th Congressional District as well. So there'll be a lot to talk about politically, and we'll talk about what's going on with Nancy Stensel coming up at 7:22.
Absolutely.
I see and I hear you hear the voice of Ian Welsh across the way. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Another dark start, but that's going to change very soon.
Yeah, I believe that daylight savings time is it a Saturday night or a Sunday night?
Well, Saturday night, early Sunday morning. Officially, the clocks go back at 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. I think most of us decide before we go to bed just to change up the clocks.
And so make sure you set your clocks back on Saturday evening, otherwise you might be an hour late on Sunday.
You'll be going to church and then walking in and it'll just be coming out.
Exactly.
Or is it the other way around? I can't remember. You get so confused sometimes about these clocks. It's like
fall back and spring forward.
Actually, then on Sunday morning, if you're thinking, hey, it's 9 o'clock, it's time for church, and you didn't turn your clocks back, you'll actually be an hour early. So you won't be late.
Okay, you'll be early. So that'd be
because
a good thing.
Because actually, you know, on Monday morning at this time, it will be 5. Actually, at this point of the morning, it'll be 5:57.
Okay.
So if you showed up at our normal times, it'd be early. So yeah. Right. So actually, you have a little bit of a buffer this coming weekend. But the good thing about daylight savings time ending is you get an extra hour of sleep.
Yeah.
You have an extra hour of the weekend coming up.
That's always something to look forward to.
So exactly right. By the end of the spring, you lose it. Then you lose an hour of your weekend. But this
just
is
for one day.
It'll be the longest weekend of the year.
That's right.
Technically,
it'll be very good for how. Halloween.
That's right. We have Halloween coming up tomorrow. So again, the last day of October, Halloween, then into November, and then all of a sudden people start thinking about Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden people start thinking about Christmas.
And all the big holidays are coming up.
It does. It's like it's crazy. So it's like it's a busy time of year. So there's a lot going on. We'll keep you up to speed on everything that is going on here in the Wausau area, as hopefully it will be a wonderful holiday season. We'll try to be as positive as we possibly can.
Yeah. Focus on the little things.
There you go. That's exactly what we want to hear. So, again, coming up at 7:22, it'll be Nancy Stensel talking some politics. Coming up in our last segment, what are you, 1 for 3 so far in the number for the day quiz?
1 for 3. So, yeah, so I'm right where I need to be.
You're right
where I can do better.
Well, if you get it right today, that will clinch a passing grade for the week. So
that's
that'll
what
be
I want, yes.
The final part of our morning report just before 8:30. Coming up, top of the hour, information update, news, weather, and sports, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Fair skies, 30 degrees here in downtown Wausau at 7:22. It is Thursday morning, and every other Thursday, get a chance to talk about the political news going on, both locally, statewide, even nationally. Democratic Party of Marathon County Chairperson Nancy Stensel. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the 7th because, and I talked to you outside.
Oh,
here.
There's lots to talk about.
I know, because yesterday I got a text from a friend of mine and said, I'll quote it, says, "Are we living in make-believe?" And it was and it was the video of Michael Alfonso, the newest candidate on the Republican side. And I said to you, I know Michael Alfonso. I covered his football games at Newman Catholic. He's very young. I'm surprised he's 25, which you have to be to run for Congress. But I kind of chuckled at the video because it starts off talking about high prices and these other issues that are being exacerbated by his hero, Donald Trump. But it seems like we're starting to get into the 7th district now.
At his age, what would he know about high prices yet? I heard that he was running.
And he's very, very far to the right. I mean, he's very much a MAGA, and I think a lot of folks here in the Wausau area know his father, Alfonso, who likes to throw bombs in the op-eds and stuff like that.
That's exactly it. Nothing factual. Just throw out a bunch of crap. And also, I think maybe this kid feels he can ride into the 7th Congressional on his father-in-law's footsteps.
And part of the video was talking about his wife, not his wife Evita, his wife Evita Duffy.
Yes.
It's a little name drop in there.
Of course.
There'll be plenty of time to talk about Michael Alfonso and his point of view as we continue.
Right.
But I did see
we have some great candidates.
I saw last week that Fred Clark had a reception here in the Wausau area.
Yes, he did.
And of course, you know, running for office in this big 7th congressional district, you got to have some resources to do it.
And Fred has a lot of experience, actually. He retired a number of years ago already, up in the Northwoods. And so he's really meshed in the communities up there, and he knows what works, what doesn't work for messaging. And he's just, I think he's going to be a terrific candidate. He had served in the Assembly a number of years back. And this Sunday, well, the Dems have, we have a weekend of canvassing, weekend of action. And the other candidate, Chris Armstrong, is going to be at the office at noon on Sunday. So,
and that's, I think sometimes primaries are poo-pooed by the parties. They, we don't want, we want to clear the field. I think that a primary is important. I thought it hurt the last time around that you get the bump because the party kind of cleared the field a little bit, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, it was a situation where the party put their hand on the scale. I think the party needs to step back, allow these candidates to gain their footing, to talk about the issues, meet the people, because then when you win, you get a little bit of a boost. You're a winner. I think that's important.
And I think those candidates learn from one another as well. And that's a very, very important thing. And I think primaries are really good. I don't like to see them when we have, like, you know, 10 candidates running. And, you know, to me, that gets a little difficult.
The gubernatorial race you'll hate then.
Right, But we have a lot of good candidates, but I wish there weren't so many. But when you have that primary, the only thing that makes it more difficult is after the primary, there's such a short time to really prove your point.
That is
like
one
that.
Of the interesting
aspects.
You really
got to go fast after that.
The Wisconsin calendar is odd in that respect because we're going to have an exceptionally long primary campaign, and then once you get past the primary, a very
after
short general
August,
election.
It's like, whoa, you better be ready to roll.
What are you looking for from these candidates on the Democratic side in the 7th? Because you've been, you put yourself right on the ground throughout this district. Yeah. What do you think the people are looking for in the next year?
I think they're looking for somebody that actually represents the working class. And when I say working class, you know, people that are out there, you know, working the two jobs, that are trying to raise a family and try to make ends meet, and they know what their health care situation, people that are actually, they want people to represent them that are actually going to help them.
That brings up a question. I think, you know, we've talked, and sometimes it feels like there's a disconnect with leadership within a party, whether it's nationally or statewide.
There is. There's corporate Democrats, and we were talking about New York and the Mam Dani. And the more I hear about the money that gets thrown at good old Andrew there, I want Mam Dani to win. He's got good points. He's explained himself, what he's going to do, and how he's going to do it.
It feels to me that we're coming to a tipping point when it comes to the National Democratic Party, when it comes to ideas like that. That if you're not able to take advantage in 2026 of a historically unpopular president and historically unpopular policies, then you have to look in the mirror. Because
we have to get bold, very bold. And I think that's what Mam Dani is doing. It's not business as usual. We're tired of business as usual.
And frankly, there is a similarity to 2008 in my mind with Mam Dani and Barack Obama. Because in that election, there was this incredible thirst for change.
Yeah,
and I think
And
I think that thirst for change is there with the Democrats, and we're not getting it from leadership. And I think it's got to come from outside leadership.
You're right. I do. It's got to come from grassroots. Grassroots is what's going to save us.
And that brings it to your job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that times, and I maybe I'm not speaking out of school, there are frustrations you get with the state party and the national party.
Mm-hmm.
How much control do you and other local Democrats have in terms of trying to reach the people in what's, again, a very difficult area? We're not going to sugarcoat it.
They pretty much, you know, roll out as they see fit. How doors and phones and things like that should go. And do we have to follow it? No, absolutely you don't. But, you know, your entire committee has to decide which direction that's going to go.
Is the old adage that the Democratic Party is always a circular firing squad true?
To some extent, yeah, it is. Yeah,
but it also shows there's, I think, a lot more independence of thought within Democratic Party politics.
There is. Sometimes it can go on, it's like herding cats.
Sometimes it can be very difficult, but I think I'd still rather have it than everybody in their Nazi march checks.
Yeah, no, we don't want that. Not at all.
We'll come back with Nancy at 7:52 here on 98.9 WXCO.
Strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grid. If you want me, you can find me.
And welcome back, WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO. Talking to Marathon County Democratic Party Chairperson Nancy Stenzel. Since we last talked, there was another No Kings rally.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, what were your thoughts on the rhetoric that came from Trump and other Republicans, basically calling you and everybody else that came out basically, you know, America hating and the far left. And
right.
I mean, really, but I will say, from the first No Kings rally back a few months ago during the summer to this one, the rhetoric really, I thought, got vitriolic from the right.
It really has. For this one, sadly, I should say something. I was asked to speak up in Rhineland at there. So I was up there. I wasn't down here for this
still one of the 7 million.
And I really wish, in hindsight, that we could stagger times so that people could make it to more of them, because I know they did that. Marinette Menominee had one, and then they were able to drive down to Green Bay and take part in that one too.
Sure.
So I see a lot of it. There is a faction of people here in town that will, what we call roll coal, come by with their trucks and just blast, you know, coal at you and stuff like that. Overall, it was, all the protests were extremely peaceful. No one was arrested. Little towns like Rhinelander even had over 1,000 people there.
Frankly, you know they were rooting for some sort of confrontations.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted.
There are certain people that will come and look for confrontation. And I mean, if it was the right having a protest, we wouldn't be going in and doing that kind of stuff. No. I mean, I worry about people's safety.
By the way,
even little bitty towns way up north had a ton of people coming.
Another point is, you remember back when they were doing the Tea Party rallies?
Oh, God.
The numbers that were involved in these Tea Party rallies are minuscule compared to the No Kings rally.
Yes.
And
yes,
yet, it doesn't feel like it has the same messaging from national media and the such.
No,
because I remember when those tea parties, oh man, it was an incredible rising of the of the people on the right.
Right, and this they downplay.
Yes.
And is the media afraid of Trump?
Well,
what is it?
Yes.
I mean, you know.
Oh, by the way, real fast. I should stop jumping in. This idea of a liberal media is the biggest fallacy in the world.
It is
corporate media.
Yeah,
it's basically
exactly.
corporate media,
corporate.
And it's still bottom line, and we're seeing it in ways that we've never seen it before during this Trump administration.
Exactly.
But it's always been there, and this idea that there is a liberal media is truly false.
And it's in everything. It's in media. It's in politics. It's, and bottom line is, if you got the big money out of stuff, maybe working people could get somewhere.
And so much, and the reason I bring it up is because, and I think we talk about the working people, the dialogue that we have. And I'll go back a year ago in the disastrous presidential debate. One thing that jumped out about that debate beyond everything else is it started off by talking about issues that Donald Trump and Republicans have been talking about on the campaign trail. They started off with the border. Instead of talking about other issues that may have been talked about by the Democrats, it always feels like the dialogue is being pushed in a certain way. And I think that people like yourself have to fight against this.
We do. And people, they'll come out and say, well, the Democrats are that's why the government is shut down. Well, it's not a total fallacy, but why? Why? Because we're fighting for health care. And if we would give in tomorrow, your premiums are going to be so unaffordable, nobody's going to be able to afford health insurance anymore.
And basically the reasons that Republicans talk about when they're talking about that issue is that Democrats want to give illegal aliens free health care, which is, again, a lie. Instead of calling it out as a lie,
right,
the media will say, well, this is a difference of opinion or the doctor.
Right. No, it's not a difference of opinion. They're not eligible to get any kind of health care. And this is something that I'm really I like those No Kings rallies. They're bringing this out there. I mean, there are people that they're coming out in droves, from young people to people that are coming out of their homes in walkers to come to these rallies to make a point. Don't touch my Social Security. Yeah. Don't touch the Medicaid, Medicare. And it, people like Donald Trump are hurting us.
And the sports aspect of the way it's covered, it's like a battle or a game. No,
it's not a game. These are people's lives.
We need to talk about issues in a better way.
Look at the SNAP benefits. Yes. They could take that money from the USDA. They're choosing not to. You would rather see people starve to death. Why don't you just tell us that?
Exactly. And the thing is, you can report on that, on the issues, and try to give the American people more information. And we talked off the air about how one of the big factors in our democracy is we need to have an electorate that is knowledgeable of the issues. And unfortunately, right now, I don't think
people are just like, you're turning a blind eye unless you're the one that's starving to death. And that is what's happening. The food pantries do not have enough food to accommodate all the people. These are not lazy people. Children cannot work. Disabled
right.
people cannot work. And a lot of them are the elderly who are on fixed income that are hurting. We were talking about prices of a hamburger.
Yeah.
And they can't afford to live.
And by the way, the idea, and whenever I do see one of these Republican elected officials on one of the news networks or one of the business networks, and they talk about just basically get a job. I mean, these people are clueless. They're clueless about what the real life consequences are.
That's their sound bites. Wake up to what is going on.
You know why it's easy for them to say? Is because they have a job and those people don't.
Yeah, by the way, they're still getting paid.
Yeah, well.
I mean, you just say get
ICE
a job when you
paid.
Have a job.
Oh, boy, we even
ICE is even getting overtime through all this crap.
That, give me a break.
And they got the big increase in funding in that big, beautiful bill back in the
summer,
too.
Yes, they did.
So,
yep.
There's so much going on.
There is. There's too much going on.
But it's always good to talk about it with you, a little venting session from time to time.
Yes. We both walk away feeling better, yeah.
Nancy, have a great rest of your week and great day.
Yeah, you too.
I'm coming back with Pat Kreitlow coming up at 8:06, so maybe I'll vent with Pat some more. I'm going to just go out there and start keep on talking. That's coming up next here on WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back, WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:23, 32 degrees, and even freezing 32 here in north central Wisconsin, partly cloudy skies at our studios in downtown Wausau, the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. I am Chad Holmes, along with Ian Welch. And we'll have Ian with his number for the day coming up in just a few minutes. But first, I wanted to mention an interesting story this morning in the Wausau Daily Herald. Eric Fonts is the author of the story talking about giving some information, some real information on SNAP benefits and the potential here in central Wisconsin for a lot of people to be hurt with the current government shutdown and SNAP benefits coming to an end on November the 1st. And also a bit of a sidelight here in a moment, but in this story from the Wausau Daily Herald, wausaudailyherald.com, Eric Fonts, he talks a little bit to folks around central Wisconsin and people that serve folks who are in need in central Wisconsin about the impact that this government shutdown and the ending of the SNAP benefits could mean. And very interesting information, and talking about how many folks in the state of Wisconsin are affected by the loss of food share benefits. Nearly 700,000 Wisconsin residents, including one in four children under five, will be affected by the loss of food share benefits starting on November the 1st. Central Wisconsin food pantries are already reporting a significant increase in people seeking assistance due to the shutdown. And these are not lazy people like Republicans and conservatives like to say. These are a lot of hardworking folks who have families, who have children, who are in need. And this game that's being played by the Republicans and Donald Trump is, frankly, inexcusable. And the idea of taking away health care benefits, taking away SNAP benefits, taking away the things that folks put their tax dollars in as opposed to tax cuts for wealthy folks. It's wrong. It is just wrong. And the games that are being played by the Trump administration are really getting disgusting. And one example of this game playing is if you go to the United States Department of Agriculture website. I got it up right now.
Okay.
The USDA website, which is basically in charge of the SNAP funding and the agency that is the leader of this. And right at the front of the USDA.gov website, and this is a government website, and it's not supposed to be politically motivated in any way, the messaging. But nope, not with the Donald Trump administration. Complete political propaganda. It says, Senate Democrats have now voted 12 times to not fund the food stamp program, also known as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. Bottom line, the well has run dry. At this time, there will be no benefits issued November 1st. We are approaching an inflection point for Senate Democrats. They can continue to hold out for health care for illegal aliens and gender mutilation procedures, or reopen the government so mothers, babies, and the most vulnerable among us can receive critical nutrition assistance. What a garbage message on the front page of the website of the United States Department of Agriculture.
And she says that?
Official website of the United States government. Yes, exactly those words.
My gosh.
The games that are being played by Donald Trump and his administration and his accomplices in the United States House and the United States Senate are disgusting. And that
it's
is
wrong.
A disgusting, it's supposed to be illegal, but so many things are supposed to be illegal nowadays that just get ignored. But here's another case of something that's supposed to be illegal, this political messaging on a United States government website. Again, people's lives are going to be affected. And yet they are playing these little games of trying to win political points through lies,
It's so shameful.
It is shameful.
And disgusting.
It is. But it's par for the course for the Trump administration and his allies in Congress. It is wrong. Bottom line, it is wrong.
Wrong on every level. Absolutely.
It should not be that complicated, people, to know what is right and what is wrong. This is wrong. The gerrymandering that has been started by the Republicans in order to try and steal control of Congress next year is wrong. You have to start saying what is right and what is wrong, and start to think for yourselves and not what Donald Trump and your religious leaders are telling you to do.
It's about the issues and what is right and wrong. Simple as that, okay?
So that is my editorial comment here for this morning.
All right.
Let's wrap things up with our number for the day quiz. We give Ian an opportunity every weekday morning at the end of our WXCO morning reports to choose between three numbers, one of which is our number for the day. So based on the math, one out of three is 33%. So anything above 33% is a passing grade for the week. Anything that is above 500, so more right than wrong, is a winning week. Four out of five is an A grade, and five out of five is a gold star perfect week.
Okay, I'm ready.
He's one for three so far this week. Our number for the day is, the Toronto Blue Jays lead the LA Dodgers 3-2 in the World Series. If the Blue Jays win, it would be a team from outside the United States that wins.
Okay.
How many times in Major League Baseball history has a team outside the United States won the World Series?
Ooh.
Your choices are one time, two times, three times.
That's a very good question. But I'm going to say two times. Final answer, I'm going to say two.
The number of times a team from outside the United States has won the World Series is two times.
Nice.
The Blue Jays won the World Series in 1992 and again in 1993.
So awesome. Passing week.
All right. So two out of four, and then I'll go for a winning week tomorrow.
It's a good place to be.
Hey, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody.
And we'll be back for the WXCO Morning Report starting at 6:52 tomorrow morning right here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.